Hello, my name is Jackie Garcia. I am 32 years old. Today is December 21st of 2019. I'm speaking with Anna Diaz, who is my girlfriend, and we are recording this interview in Irvine, California. So I guess we should just start chatting, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've already mentioned that you're my girlfriend, but...
I'm also a little younger than you. I'm 31 years old.
Almost 32.
Almost 32.
So yeah, we've been together 3 years now. We just had our third anniversary.
We're embarking on our fourth, which we dubbed senior year.
Yes, senior year of high school. We hope we go to the same college. Yeah, how did we meet, Anna?
Well, I moved to Orange County in the summer of 2013, and I didn't know anyone, so... I researched on the internet, as one does, and one thing that came up was Meetup, and Meetup is a, it's like social clubs, so if you're really into hiking, you can find hiking clubs in your area. If you're really into whatever, you can find clubs. So I started going to social clubs for 20s and 30s, and I made a bunch of friends there, and then as time went on, I kind of wanted to explore the LGBT clubs. So I just got lucky and I found one that was really cool. It was filled with a lot of people that are now good friends of mine. And after being in that club for a while, I actually hosted my own meetup events. And it so happened that in 2016, one of my friends and I hosted a meetup to go to an art walk in downtown Santa Ana. And Jackie showed up. And the rest is history.
How did I show up?
She joined the event, and yeah, you walked around with us, chit-chatted a little, and that was kind of how we connected.
Yeah, it's funny, I am from Orange County, but at the time, I had been living in LA for a few years, and I had just recently come back to Irvine to live. Actually, 2 weeks. I had only been back in Irvine 2 weeks, and I think I was at a point in my life where I knew that coming back, if I really wanted to have a social life outside my parents, who were my roommates, I had to be, you know, active to do that. So I signed up for these meetups, and luckily a friend of mine pushed me to go that one day. I had signed up for Anna's, and I thought the invite was really, really interesting. Like, I think I was at a point in my life where I wanted to explore more cultural relevant things like art and whatnot. And I just wanted to meet people versus this idea of dating. I had been doing the dating app, so thought it was pretty cool to just like go and like meet people and just, you know, learn more. And so I went to it, and I didn't dress for the occasion of like meeting a girl or anything. I just went very like chill, and I met this girl right here, who I thought was really, really neat, charismatic, and smart, and pretty. So I was like, all right. So, yeah.
And she let me borrow money the first time we met.
I did.
I wanted to buy a record at one of the stalls, and I didn't have any cash, so I asked everyone to pool in money so I could buy it, and she contributed.
I did. I saw how excited you were, so I was like, oh, well, she's excited about this. Like, I guess I'll give her a couple dollars. And it's funny, like, at the end of the day, we were having coffee, and you mentioned, like, you're a copywriter, and you don't meet a lot of copywriters, so I was like, oh, we're in the same industry, that's cool. And then you mentioned that you had, wanted to intern at Casanova, and I was like, well, small world, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's interesting that we, like, you know, I moved out of Orange County to find myself. I felt like, for me, growing up in Orange County and being gay was not something I could really explore or felt comfortable doing. I felt like LA was the place to do it, and I thought I would meet a girl out there too, because you don't meet a lot of girls out here who are open and whatnot. So I spent a lot of time out in LA. I met a lot of girls that were interesting, but I think it's ironic that I come back home, and one of the reasons I came back home was to be with my family. I felt like I had to sacrifice, like, my family because I couldn't, like, try to be myself. So I came back home kind of, like, with this idea of, like, well, I'm just going to come back home because that's where my heart, you know, home is where the heart is and where my family was. So I thought, well, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to be myself. And I never really thought about that, like, that I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I had learned so much, and I guess I came back home, and I was like, well, like, can't change who I am. And so I think it's ironic that I come back and I immediately meet you. I think it's like, I don't know, it was like the stars aligned, I feel like.
Yeah, it's interesting how, like, the same place is relative. For instance, I grew up in the Inland Empire.
Where's that, Anna?
The Inland Empire is Riverside County, heading towards, you know, like Palm Springs, Temecula, that area. And I grew up in a small city. It was like a handful of gay people in high school. But everyone was always just like, I'm going to leave, blah, blah, blah. And I felt the same way. It's like I had to leave to kind of find my own. And I thought Orange County was a decent place to do that because it seemed so much farther and so much bigger than my home. But it's just interesting that you said, you're like, oh, I felt like I had to go to L.A.
So you're always trying to go
away. Yeah, you're always trying to, I guess, go to that next step that you mm-hmm. think is where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting that it's all relative.
Is it, so like, for you, I don't know how a lot of people feel like when they grow up. Some people feel like they're going to stay there. But then they end up leaving, and this idea of, like, life is never quite what you imagine it to be. And I feel like you and I obviously have that common link of, like, growing up and repressing or, like, hiding who we are. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think we have that in common. Like, I think we grew up with parents who probably would not be super open to us being gay. And, like, so, and that's one of the things I thought was, like, you know, I wanted to meet somebody who kind of, like, had my same values and, you know, because I'm a little bit more conservative, but I am gay, right? And so I was like, oh, I want to meet somebody who...
I'm a huge liberal, though.
That's true. No, but, like, we have the same core values.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think... And that's why being liberal, like, I am... That's the thing, is, like, I am gay, and so to some extent I am liberal. But when it comes to, like, I guess maybe traditional is a better word, like... Ironically, we are more traditional. Like, we're very close to our family, and we're not, like, you know, because you can meet some other people in the LGBT community who's they're a little bit more out there. And I personally was, like, growing up, I was nervous that I wouldn't find somebody, a girl, that would be at my level in that way. Because you grow up thinking, like, there's only going to be, like, first you grow up thinking, like, you're gay, and then you're like, well, all I know that gay is whatever you're exposed to in the media, which is not much. And so then you think, well, is that all the kind of people that there are?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I thought, well, sometimes I almost felt like when I met gay people, it was like, well, being gay was the only thing we had in common. But not all these other layers that make mm-hmm. me or make you you. And so for me, like, the life I have now is, like, somewhat what I imagined it to be on some level, on some foundational level, but
mm-hmm.
it definitely is a little different. I mean, I thought it was, you know. You know, when I was a kid, I thought I was gonna, I don't know, I thought I'd never leave Orange County, and then I never thought that I'd be gay, so I think my life has definitely, you know, I think if life has taught me one thing, is that, like, it definitely, like, isn't what you expect, but I think you just have to be open to getting to know yourself and not being afraid to get to know the things that you care about or like or want to explore, because I think it leads you to interesting things. Like, I mean, if I wasn't open to just going that night, I would have never met you, right? Like, if I was just kind of like, well, you know what, I don't know any of these people, like, what if, you know, start thinking things in my head, like, what if nobody likes me, or what if nobody talks to me,
mm-hmm.
and I just sort of pushed all that aside, and, you know, expectations, and I just said, well, I'm just gonna go with it, I'm just gonna, like, roll with the punches, because, I don't know.
I think that's also something that I've learned, is that you really do just have to roll with it. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, growing up, I was always just like, yeah, like I said, that was kind of like a common mentality back home. It's like, you gotta leave, like, this place is, there's nothing here.
Well, you guys already felt that way?
Like, a lot of people were like that. So I felt the same way. I moved to Riverside for college, which is a bigger city, but it's still close to home. So it never really felt like I left.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of kind of embracing it and being like, well, I'm here, like, this is not, it's, I have a fresh start. I was very, like, moody about, because I really wanted to go to Berkeley. Right. Yeah. And I didn't get in. So instead of just being like, well, this is what I get, let me make the best of it, like, I was just like not having Stubborn. My best quality.
Yes.
And then when I moved to Orange County, I guess I had a different approach. It was like, I'm not going to go to LA. I can't afford that right now. But at least I have this and my sister's here. So it's not like I'm completely alone. And I think that mentality really helped me to find my own and, I guess, be confident and brave enough to go out and just meet people.
Because you came out kind of later in your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you, when you came out here in Orange County, you were like 25 or 26. And this is when you actually
I came out embraced. In my mid to late 20s. Yeah. So the best years of my life, my college years, I spent them in the closet. Poor me, right?
Is it weird to think of, like, when you look back at that? Like,
yeah.
Was it bearable or was fine? Like, at the time it was
At the time it's like, well, like, I'm obviously not actively doing anything to change the way I feel. So I can't really complain. I don't regret it. Because like I said, I wasn't doing anything to actively change it, so I can't blame anyone but myself. But I'm content with the decisions I made. In the years that I've come out, I've had a lot of fun and met a lot of different people, met you, and all that has led to this point in the recording booth.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Do you, when you think about when you were growing up, like, is your life now anything remotely close to what you thought it was going to be?
I don't know, because I honestly can't remember thinking as a little kid, like, oh, I want to have this or that. I'd always have, I don't know, I can't really say that.
You were just kind of living?
Yeah, just kind of like,
in the moment,
I was just
present.
Like, I don't know, it'd be cool if I was like a scientist or a rock star or this or that, but it was never like, I want, a white picket fence.
No.
Like, seven kids or whatever.
Yeah. My sister was very explicit about that, and I'd see her be like, I want my husband, I want kids, and same, I just wanted to, like, I wanted to be an actress, and
yeah,
I wanted to, one of my things I wrote when I was in sixth grade, I was like, if I get to be whatever I want to be, I'm like, I'm going to be an actress, and if I make a lot of money, I'm going to, like, donate to a charity. It's like, wanted to have.
I remember now something. I did something like that too in school,
yeah,
where you write what you're going to be. And I drew a picture of myself as a scientist.
Oh, yeah.
And it said something to the effect of, like, when I grow up, I want to be a scientist. I haven't decided if I want to get married yet.
Whoa.
And then, like, everyone laughed. They just thought it was
very
funny.
Very, like, specific, no?
Yeah. It was like, I drew myself in a lab coat. I'm not a scientist, obviously, but I just thought, yeah, that even, like, as a kid, I was just like, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Interesting. Speaking of, like, being kids and stuff, when I think about my childhood, I think about, I think I personally had a great childhood. Like, I think that's something we should have in common in terms of, like, our family unit. Like, you guys are a very close-knit family unit. I think we were too. Our family has expanded since, but, when I think about my childhood, we were like, the six of us were like this family unit that, we're very close together because we didn't have any family out here. Like, my parents' families were in Mexico, so we didn't have, like, extended family around, so we kind of stuck together. And, being Hispanic and Mexican-American in a predominantly non-Hispanic community that it was at the time, Irvine, it was, like, a very interesting experience. So we kind of, like, relied on each other a lot. My parents were, super, like, it was all about us. Like, their lives were all about us. Like, weekends were soccer games and baseball games. My dad put me in softball, even though I hated it. And weekdays was, like, my dad would come home from work, and he would literally sit with all of us, four of us, to do our homework. And my mom would cook for us and, be there for us. And so he was just, like, very, we were, like, we were really close. And
I had a similar experience growing up too. I had my extended family, like uncles, cousins, and whatnot, and we're all very close knit too because I'm a first generation immigrant, so it's kind of you leaned on each other to kind of learn how to navigate like this new world that you entered into.
Yeah, you have to, like, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I've told you that, like, you know, I'd go to Mexico for the summer, or we'd go to Mexico for the break and for 2 weeks, you know, so you're immersed in this world with people who are your cousins, blood relatives, and you connect on a way that's, like, you don't, you know, it's just different, it's a unique way of connecting, and so, you know, you speak Spanish, you listen to Spanish music, you see the Spanish TV and the food, and then you come back here, and it's, like, it's all gone, and you sort of have to acclimate again, you go and try to understand the two worlds, and you don't understand why other people around you, like, you don't know how to, like, mix the two worlds when you're a little kid, and, you know, for me, that was, it was interesting, I mean, it was kind of cool to have, it was almost like, oh, I have this, like, it's like another world, but it also was, it was confusing at times, and, you know, I look back, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could have practiced my Spanish better, I mean, it's not like my Spanish is terrible, but I wish that I would have figured out a way to balance the two, but I don't think it's, when you're a kid, it's that easy.
Did you ever have, because I experienced this, I had, like, I guess, bouts in my life where I would want to be, like, embrace, like, the Mexican part and be very, like, just speak Spanish, hang out with all the other Hispanic kids.
Yeah.
Then I'd have bouts where I'm like, you know what, that isn't me. I'm just going to acclimate, you know, assimilate to this culture and just be whatever. And then I was, like, I was really into punk.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you ever had that.
I think that's something we haven't, I think that's one of the things that where we connect, because we have that idea, like those two worlds that we've been trying to, like, I think it's a good thing. I think we've been able to appreciate both worlds, whereas some people just sort of lean one way or the other. And I think we both kind of appreciate and take a little bit of the both.
Yeah. And we understand that the balance changes, like maybe someday I really want to listen to that. Music in Spanish.
Yeah.
Some days.
You want to listen to Morrissey.
It's Morrissey.
Sometimes I want to listen to Faye.
Yeah.
Old school. Or I want to listen to, you know, Missy Higgins. You know, I just, you know. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I think,
But I think anyone that's multicultural probably experiences
the same
one, you know, something like that in their lives.
Yeah.
You can't imagine not, especially in any regard.
Yeah. Do you have, a special memory of, like, your childhood?
My childhood?
Mm-hmm.
Like, specifically?
Yeah, I don't know. What comes to mind when you think about your childhood?
I just think, like, all those family parties with, like, my tons of cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone's, like, an adult. And a lot of them have kids now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think. I think just like, tons of kids. I think of spending time at grandma's house. Well, I've told you this memory, but this is, like, one of my favorite ones is my grandma would make, she'd always make my uncle's lunch, even after they, you know, they were adults and married, they did, like, drop by her house for lunch.
Grinda.
Right?
How nice of her.
And she'd always make, she would frequently make handmade tortillas.
Uh-huh.
And
flour or corn?
I think corn.
Okay.
Yeah, because the masa. Yeah, masa's corn. She'd always give me a little bit of masa, and I would make, like, a little sculpture or, like, sculpt a little figurine. And then after I was done, she put them in the freezer. So at the evening when my dad would pick me up, I'd still have my little sculptures, my little masa sculptures. And my dad would, I'd have them with me when my dad would pick me up and take me home. And she'd also, well, sidebar, but apparently there's no such thing as burritos in Mexico.
Yeah, like, it's an American.
Yeah, it's an American thing. Like, yes, they put stuff in tortilla and roll it up, but it's not necessarily a burrito.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good informative.
But my grandma would kind of, like, play off of that, and, like, freshly made tortillas are really good with just, like, by themselves. They're very tasty. And she would sprinkle, like, little salt or put a little butter and roll it up, and then she'd pinch, like, the tips, because the fresh tortillas are very pliable. So you'd pinch, like, tips, the end of the tortilla to make it look like little ears, and she'd be like, look, a burrito for you.
It's cute.
Yeah. That's cool. What about you?
I think when I think about my childhood, and it's really stupid, it's very mundane, the memory.
Those are the best.
But, yeah, so when we would go for, like, the summer or the holidays, we'd go to Mexico. When we visit my dad's family specifically, we'd do these, like, road trips. It was, like, 2 days together. But I remember the day before, my dad would, like, pack the van with all of our stuff, and I'd help him, like, pack the van up, and then we'd all go to sleep early, and then, like, I'd be sleeping, and in the morning, it's, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just hear my parents kind of, like, walking down and up and down the stairs, like, making coffee. My dad had that, like...
The big thermos.
And you just hear them talking, and I'm just like, okay. Like, it's this starting. Excitement. I don't know. It was, like, this excitement to, like, be with my family on this adventure, you know, because it does kind of take you out of your everyday, no? Like, mm-hmm. to be in the car with them for 2 days. And so then we'd all pack in the car, and we'd all sleep. And then we'd be sleeping in the van, and you just hear my parents talking, and I don't know, it was like, and then, like, who would wake up next or first, or, I don't know, it was just, like, this
mm-hmm.
experience together that was really, really special. Life was so simple, you know, it was like, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I have similar memories of that. Did your mom ever, like, switch off and help your dad drive?
Yeah, so my mom actually could never sleep.
Oh, really?
My mom could never sleep, so so she would be awake the whole time. So, yeah, she would rest when my dad would drive, but then when he uh-huh. would she would drive, he would take some naps.
Uh-huh.
But she hated that she couldn't fall asleep. She's like, I think she was just really, always really, very worried. But I remember there were times where there was so much wind that the van would kind of shake a little, so then they'd have to drive slower. One time the car, like the tire, something, but it broke down, and we were on the side of the road, and my family came and helped us, which now probably, I don't know if it would happen, but so we've had some stuff happen, but
now you call AAA from your cell phone.
Yeah,
when we did that, it was also about like 2 days, and my mom didn't have a driver's license, mm-hmm. so only my dad would drive, and it was, I can't imagine how rough that was to just drive for 2 days. And then...
Did you have your Walkman, by the way?
My Walkman?
Did you have a Walkman?
I had a CD player.
Okay, what would you listen to?
I would listen to... I want to say maybe, like, Shakira or... Oddly enough, I really liked Alanis Morissette when I was a kid. I got Jagged Little Pill.
Of course you did.
As, like, a 12-year-old.
You're so hip.
And I was just like, ooh. Like, in retrospect, I'm like, maybe that album's too heavy for a kid, but...
Well, you don't know.
But I just, I don't know. I've always loved that singer-songwriter.
So funny. While you were listening to Alanis, I was listening to Shania Twain. We're so different.
I know, right?
But, I love Alanis Morissette. But, I don't know. I feel like you're more, like, gutsy in the sense that, like, you would go out of your way to, like, explore that kind of stuff, and I'm a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
I guess, like, you know, I don't want to say the word basic, but, like, I listen to a lot of music my sisters listen to, and
I'm
didn't have the oldest.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You are the oldest, so you set the precedent. Right?
Yeah, I blazed the path,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting, like, I think one of the reasons that I got into the music that I got to was because it was so different than what my parents would listen to.
And that was a good thing?
I think I was just trying to... Now I love, like, what they listen to. Like, I think, of, like, when I'll put a song, like, a playlist on Shuffle on Spotify, mm-hmm. and a song will come up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally remember my mom playing mm-hmm. this, like, Saturday mornings when we're cleaning. But I think at the time, I was just trying to... and it goes back to that idea of, like, oh, I need to, like, find my own and assimilate into this new culture because... I don't feel, you know, this or there. And I was just trying to find stuff that I thought was uniquely me.
Interesting. I think that's a very, like, oldest kid thing to do because I feel like Michelle was, when I look at the four of us, mm-hmm. Michelle was very similar in that sense. Like, Michelle was all about, like,
and who's
finding
Michelle,
her
by
own
the way?
Path. Oh, Michelle's my oldest sister. And she also was very much, like, I love that Michelle loved what she loved. Mm-hmm. And I think I was always afraid to, like what I liked.
Because it wasn't cool enough.
Because it wasn't cool enough for Michelle or for other people. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I love Dawson's Creek music, you know, and not everyone does, but yeah. I love it. And my sisters would be like, "You're always in your cave," and I would listen to music and like emo music because I just thought it was had so much thought emotion. But I would never tell people.
Yeah,
I would never tell people I liked Dawson's Creek. Like I was very very closeted in many ways, even when I liked. And so I thought it was really cool that Michelle was like very much like owned. What she loved. She loved Mariah Carey. She loved... Michelle would, like, collect all of those milk ads where the celebrities would have them up. Yeah. And her wall was covered in them.
That's interesting.
You know, and, like, she was, you know, not the rebel, but, like, she was the one that, like, you know, had to, like, be like, I'm going to go to this party or I'm going to go do this with my friends and just sort of stand up. And by the time it got to me, it was easier. I know Nancy, your sister, little sister, had
A
similar...
Yeah, she kind of learned from my mistakes. And she's like, instead of staying out late and getting caught, I'm just going to say I'm going to sleep at so-and-so's house and stay out late and never get caught.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So the
That's
young,
funny.
You and Nancy had it easy.
Yeah.
We trained our parents well for you.
Do you have a twin?
I don't have a twin. Oh. Do you have a twin?
Oh, my God. It's so funny you ask.
Oh.
I do.
Wow.
I have a twin brother.
Oh. How does that work?
What do you mean?
You're supposed to say, oh, it's we're fraternal
twins.
Oh,
got it. we're fraternal twins. Mm-hmm. We do not look alike. I don't think. Do you think we look alike?
I think you guys look like siblings.
Mm-hmm. So it was the classic syndrome of, like, he was, like, the popular kid, and I was the chunky, nerdy girl. Mm-hmm. We were so very different people, different kinds of. The siblings, and I remember everybody in school, like, had a crush on my brother, and so they would always befriend me so that they can get to my brother, which is, like, an interesting experience when you're a kid, because, you know, you're so vulnerable and wanting people to like you, and then you realize, oh, they don't like you for you, they like your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting experience, but, and I think that also kind of played into my own, like, confidence. Like, I don't know how, like, it played with it. It challenged it because I needed to kind of become my own person outside of my brother.
I feel like you're very confident, though. That's what I, like, when I first met you, I felt like you were, yeah, like, very confident, very, like, gung-ho about what you are and, like, what you want. Like, now that I know you more, like...
Yeah.
I can see you do have your moments where, like, is this okay? But, like, for the most part, you exude confidence and
and
ambition.
I wasn't always that way. I think I had to overcome some stuff to get to this point. And now that I had it, I was like, well, let's...
Do you think I'm outgoing?
I think so, yeah. I think I don't think I've ever had to worry about, like, when you've met my friends or my family that you were going to be.
Because everyone says that. Everyone's like, oh, you're so outgoing. And I don't think so.
You don't feel that you are?
I'm very, like, reserved and shy. Like, whenever I go into a new situation, I'm just like, all right, so what jokes do I got to break the ice?
So, yeah, you love your jokes. Your jokes are your, like, what is it?
That's how my door.
Your armor?
Yeah, my armor.
Yeah. Well, I told you when I first met you, like, one of the things I loved about you was your personality,
mm-hmm.
and your humor.
Fooled you.
Well, it's funny, so obviously when you start dating somebody, you tell your sister all about this person. So I would tell my sister Michelle, my old sister. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so funny. Oh my God, look at this tag, isn't that funny? And my sister would, like, joke around. She'd be like, oh, Anna, joke, joke, joke. Joke here. She probably saw through you, you know? Like,
yeah.
She's like, this girl is just trying to... no, I think you're confident, but you're not necessarily, like, maybe I'm a little bit more overtly, like, outgoing, and you are outgoing, but in a more, like, reserved manner, but, like, all my friends love you. My mom loves you. Everyone's an Anna fan.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, everyone that's met you, they speak highly of you, too.
That's good.
Like, Abby loves you, Nancy loves you. My parents like you, too.
Yeah, mom's getting there.
Yeah.
I think we make a pretty good combo. A
power couple? Are those the words you're trying to...
That's looking what for? You've said in the past. I don't know. I think there's, you know, when you think about relationships, like, and very similar to what you were saying earlier about, like, this idea of, like, you've, like, what you didn't, what happened with your experience with Riverside. Like, you learn from that experience, and so when you came to Orange County, you what's that saying? It's like, you can't expect the same stuff and get the same results. I'm sure it's more eloquent than that.
It's something like insanity. It's like, supposedly like a famous quote by someone. It's something to the effect of, like, insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Exactly. So I think, like, for example, for you, you knew that when you came to Orange County, if you were going to do the same thing in Riverside, you weren't going to...
Yeah, I was going to be miserable.
So I think relationships are that way, too. You know, like, I learned so much from my past relationships that I feel like when I met you, I was in such a better place in my life and as an individual that I was like, okay, like, I already know that there's certain things that could harm a relationship and harm, like, the love that you feel for someone. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that can become toxic, and then it affects the way you actually, like, treat each other. Mm-hmm. Which I think ultimately is love. Like, I know love is about how you treat someone. It is a translation of your love for someone is how you treat them.
Mm-hmm.
You treat them with respect and consideration and all that stuff. So I think, like, when I met you, like, I've been very conscious of trying my best. Like, I look back and I'm like, I'm not the person I was in my past relationships. I feel that I'm more patient and kinder and calmer.
Oh, wow.
So there was actually,
I can't imagine that then.
I just tapped her a little bit. No, like, I feel like it's I was like, oh, I'm gonna treat this one. Like, I'm gonna preserve, like, nurture and preserve this one better because you are a very special person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've told you this, like, you're all the things that I, like, wanted in somebody else, like, you are already naturally are, like, this beautiful person.
Wow.
So, I'm like, well,
those are,
I gotta be mindful.
There's big shoes to fill.
Ooh. You think so?
No. If I'm already that, then...
You're like, what?
Similarly, like, earlier you said, how did you imagine your life? And I don't think I ever imagined, I guess, meeting someone that was, like, such a cheerleader as you are. You're very, like, no, you can do it. Or you just believe in me. And I think that's pretty cool, because I don't think I could have never imagined getting that outside of my family, outside of someone that was related to me. And here you are, this complete stranger, and you're like, yeah, you're cool. Let's figure this out. I'm like, okay, all right.
But part of it is that you're open, too. Like, mm-hmm. You're open for that. You're vulnerable, too.
Mm-hmm.
Letting someone in, to, like, mm-hmm. be that person for you. And not everyone is, so I think that's
mm-hmm.
cool. Love you. And to even do this thing right now that we're doing. Like, not everyone will do it.
It's a fun story. That's right? That's been, like, my mantra, like, maybe the past 10, 15 years of my life.
Yeah.
It's like, well, even if I dislike it in the moment or I never, like, considered it or whatever reason, if it's a fun story, I just say, let's do it. Because that's what life's all about, the stories you build.
At the end of the day, all you have is memories, right?
Yeah, all you have is memories.
Speaking of memories, since we're here in Orange County, what is a favorite memory here in Orange County that you've had since you moved out here?
Favorite memory?
A favorite
memory. I can't really say one comes to mind, but one place does come to mind. Like, when I think of Orange County, and kind of my time here and my experiences here, mm-hmm. what really I think will define this period of my life is the city of Santa Ana,
because
mm-hmm. that's where I lived for many years, and that's where I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I met a lot of your friends.
Met a lot of my friends. I have lots of memories of hanging out in downtown and going to the restaurants, the bars with, like, my friends, with you. So I think for me, Orange County is always going to be Santa Ana.
Oh.
What about you? Well, you grew up here, so I'm assuming...
Oh, man, I grew up here. So, for me, the irony is that we joke about this. You know Orange County better than I do. Which I think that's been interesting for me, is rediscovering this
mm-hmm.
city, or this county, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I grew up in Irvine, specifically, and you know, we were always so busy with what we had scheduled, and so we never really got to explore, just to explore, the sake of exploring your area. And so by the time I left college, or when I was in college, I moved to LA, and I lived in LA most of my 20s, so I didn't really get to explore it the way that I personally as an individual wanted to. So I think that's been exciting for me, is to rediscover this county and realize, like, there's some amazing places. Like, I love Orange and the Orange Circle and downtown Santa Ana, Fullerton, Huntington Beach. I mean, there's just so many places with so many great things. And I think it's, you know, it's, like, I'm happy to say that, like, coming back here, like, I said, I was so afraid of living out here because I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a wonderful experience to be back here and to just live my authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
I recently have been working with the, well, you know very well, you know, to, like, to me, the full circle moment was this year. I got to work with the LGBT Center through my agency, and to give back that way, we just are on the heels of completing our first, like, official campaign with the center, and it's about bringing visibility to all kinds of families. And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, when you think about, you mm-hmm. know, what you want to contribute to this world, is, like, this idea of, like, just making it a little better, right, than the way you, you know, make it a little better. So I think being able to come back home, be myself, and help others feel that way too, I think is going to be something I'll continue to put my heart and soul into, because, you know, I remember being 15 and being here and thinking, man, like, there's not one mm-hmm. gay person I know. How am I going to do this, you know? And
yeah.
So now to be, like, in this trailer with you
mm-hmm.
and, you know, proudly say you're my girlfriend and, you know, hold your hand in public and, you know, all that stuff. So it's been,
Do you think 15-year-old Jackie would have ever imagined that adult Jackie is making waves in the LGBT community in Orange County?
Absolutely not. I mean, I never even wanted a single soul to know that I was gay or that I had any inkling of being gay. So, like, this, to be in this position now mm-hmm. is, like, I don't even, it's incredible. And I'm so happy that there's people out there, like, in the community. It's all about, like, supporting each other, and I'm just so inspired by other people in this community who are proud to be who they are. Because it's, I've always told you this, like, I think when you're in the LGBT community, it's like, you have to be inherently, like, braver than you ever thought, because we, you know, this is not a choice, you know, this is the mm-hmm. way we're born, so you have to be incredibly brave just to be yourself, which is, like, ironic. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, what about you? Is it, like, you, this was a big year for you.
Yeah, it came out to my...
yeah, you remember that?
vaguely. Yeah, it came out to my parents. And it's interesting because prior to that, like, we would discuss it, and it was always a point of conversation in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'd always describe it as, like, oh, it's terrifying. I could never do this. And kind of living in a post coming out world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even I'm still amazed at myself because I just did the thing that I was the most terrified of for the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know. Sometimes I still can't believe it. I'm just like, whoa. Because I remember being in my late teens, like,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, this is my life. How can I possibly get through this?
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am, like you said, in this trailer/recording booth, talking to my girlfriend and recording this for all of humanity to see.
I know, it's kind of crazy, huh?
It's crazy how where life takes you. But like I said, if it makes a great story, go for it.
What do you think, what advice would you give to, like, young Anna?
That one, just go for it. Like, best case scenario, you learn something, you grow, you meet someone. Worst case scenario, it's a fun story. I think that was my biggest, hindrance when I was younger. I was just worried about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've learned that the outcome, whatever it may be, is half the fun, I guess. Like, first half is the experience, second half is the outcome.
Whoa.
Whoa. What about you? Do you have any wise closing words, so to speak?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes on this. Closing words. Well, I think part of, like, why I wanted to even do this was because I think we have a unique story,
mm-hmm.
one that should be shared.
But I think it's also a story that could definitely, like, if I had heard this story as a teenager, mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, I think my advice is that don't be afraid, I guess. Like, don't be afraid of what life brings you. Be, like, hold on to the things you care about, whether it's, you know, be your family, your friends, the things, like, that you're passionate about, whether it's music or art or food or whatever. Life is constantly changing. That is a fact. So
mm-hmm.
if you're able to at least have some things that don't change, and that's, I think that's your love for people, the love for things, I think that is the biggest thing you can do, is, like, hold on to things that do mean something to you. So while everything is evolving and changing, because that's what happens, at least you have that to ground you. Because the things that have grounded me in this journey have been my friends and my family. And, like, going full circle is, like, you know, I can now, like, say, like, I'm so happy that I found, when I was younger, like, I found things that I was passionate about, you know? Even the Dawson's Creek music. Like, because that's uniquely mine, you know? That's uniquely my own interest, in that everybody has a right to have that, whatever it is. And I'm really excited that Orange County is taking the time to do things like this. I really do have hope that Orange County can be a home to any kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, when I think about the LGBT community, I hope that they, this county becomes a place where, you know, people are, you know, being, you know, kind and respectful and welcoming to all kinds of people. Because at the end of the day, we're all the same. We all want the same things, if you really think about it. And that's just to be loved and to be listened
mm-hmm.
to. So that's what I think. I want to thank you, Anna, for doing this with me.
Thank you for inviting me, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much. It's I'm happy to know that if anybody's out there looking to find someone, you know, find someone who wants to, like, grow with you and, you know, do new things with you together, I think that's super important, because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else, yeah. Anna? She's a copywriter, so she'll probably end this with a really good way to end this
thing. I don't know.
You do know. I
don't know.
I see it in your eyes.
I don't know. I'm just going to say, do I have a voice for radio? That's all I've been thinking about this whole time.
We're going to find out.
That's it. But yeah. Yeah, hopefully if anyone ever listens to this, they think I'm funny.
I hope so too for you.
Yeah.
It'll make me hope they do.
Yeah. All right. Forgive me, solace.
Well, thank you so much. I guess we're gonna go ahead and press done. That's how that works?
Yes. And we're done. Are you sure you're finished?
Yes.